It's been 10 years since our next guest co-founded the Garden to Table program, teaching children to grow, cook and share food. Catherine Bell is a chef, food writer, teacher, businesswoman and author. Since the Garden to Table Trust was founded a decade ago, 23,000 children in years 3 to 6 have been through the program in 176 schools nationwide. It's a simple but powerful idea. Teach children where food comes from, how to grow it, and how to prepare it, and encourage them to eat healthy, fresh food. To celebrate the milestone, Catherine Bell's written a book called Bounty for Gardeners and Cooks, with proceeds going to the Garden to Table Trust. Catherine's in the Auckland studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
10 years flies that fast.
Well, I'm not sure it flew fast, but can I just first, before we set off, make one slight correction? Yes, 23,000 children, but that's actually per year now. So over the 10 years, it's a lot more than 23,000 children. We don't have an exact figure, but as the schools have grown, of course, the number of children coming into the program each year also grows. So at the moment, for instance, this year, we have worked out that there's about 20,000-25,000 children going through Garden to Table just this year.
So you're probably realistically well over the 100,000 mark.
I think we are, and we've reached a lot of children with this program. And of course, yes, it's a milestone, but the thing that I think this milestone has brought home to me is that just how much work we still have to do. There's still nearly 250,000 children who are not benefiting from food education and in schools in New Zealand, and learning those vital life skills that everyone needs to feed themselves well.
There's a lot of it happening now, to be fair. There's an awareness now. We've seen it introduced more and more often, if not into the curriculum, then certainly into many primary schools. But from memory, I think your organisation was one of the first to really focus and formalise a program in conjunction with schools. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I think you're right. You're right, there are other programs, but none quite like Garden to Table. There's lots of schools doing gardening, and that's great. Very few of them actually garden, harvest and cook, and then sit around a table and share food. The thing, though, that makes Garden to Table really unique is that it is linked to the children's learning. So part of the Trust's role in all of this is to produce resources for teachers so that when the children are in the garden in the kitchen, they're actually in the classroom, in a classroom, but they're learning kinesthetically, they're learning by doing. And the teachers take that back to the classroom, and it all fits into their science and their maths, their literacy. And that's what's really unique about Garden to Table, is that it's not just an extracurricular activity the kids do for the fun of it. It is fun, of course, but they're actually learning. Everything they go to school to learn, they can learn in the garden and the kitchen alongside those life skills. It's pretty unique.
It is. You mentioned that momentum now, maybe 20,000 children a year. Here I have. I found a time we had a chat about 5 years ago now, and you were in 21 schools. So that sounds to me like there was a bit like a garden. There was
a
lot of
like
preparation and
absolutely
composting and perfecting the soil, and then we had the flourishing garden. Remind us what those first years were like.
Well, I've been reflecting a lot, of course, on the first years, and my greatest memory is sitting up in bed at about 11 o'clock at night with my laptop on my lap writing grant applications. And of course, I was a complete non-profit novice. I had no knowledge of how non-profits worked when we started this. So it was a huge learning curve. And, you know, I think that's probably the thing that I will miss, that I've missed least, is that we now have a team of people who know how to write grants applications. But I think it is incredibly rewarding to see the growth. And it's been very slow. It's been very gradual. I liken it in the book. I talk about an apple tree, you know, that maybe the first year it grows one apple and then the next year it grows five and so on and so forth. And it has been a bit like that. The momentum is faster now. You know, awareness has grown. It's taken a long time, though. You know, if you say to people these days, oh, have you heard of Garden to Table? The chances are they'll say yes. 5 years ago, of course, the answer probably would have been no. So we're very lucky in that we have become more established and more well-known. The awareness is greater, and I think that really helps.
What is the experience that students go through then?
At school?
Yes.
So when they start Garden to Table, they have a session a week, generally. Some schools operate, all the schools tend to operate a little differently, but generally speaking, the class is split in half. They all come together at the beginning for a short lesson. They're going to talk about what they're going to harvest that day if they're in the garden. They're going to talk about what they're going to cook today. They might talk about something that relates to what they're cooking. So it might be a country or a type of food or a term or a technique. They'll look at the harvest table and see what's on the harvest table and see what's coming out of the garden to cook with. So then the class gets split in half. Half goes to the garden, half goes to the kitchen. The garden kids will do all sorts of things. They might be turning over the compost. They might be looking for snails. They might be planting seedlings or seeds or digging up the potatoes or harvesting the tomatoes or, hunting for berries. All under the supervision of an adult, obviously. They get their wheelbarrow license. They do all sorts of things, learn how to use secateurs, you learn how to dig with a spade. And this is all real life. This is not kiddie-sized. This is, if you were doing this with your grandfather at home in the garden, it's exactly the same. And in the kitchen, working in small groups, creating a recipe. So reading the recipe, working out what they have to do, gathering the ingredients, measuring, mixing and creating a dish. And then at the end, the loveliest part of it is that everyone comes together. The food gets put in the middle of the tables to be shared. The adults sit with the children. They talk, they converse, just like we hope all families do at the end of the day, but which we know doesn't happen as much as it could or should. There's often a karakia or a blessing. There's a thank you to the volunteers. Some of the children might talk about what they've learned in the garden or the kitchen today. It's a very lovely experience. And one day I'm going to have to get you out to a Garden to Table school, Catherine, in the Wellington area.
I'd love to do that. Or
somewhere
else.
So you can see it for yourself.
Yeah. It's not for free because nothing will survive, really, if you can't make it financially sustainable. So there's a sign-up cost, isn't there, and then an annual fee.
Well, there is, and we have two different models, but we're actually in the throes of changing that model. So to make it more affordable and approachable for all schools. I mean, the trusts, as a charity, our problem is having people on the ground everywhere. So we have area coordinators in quite a few areas of the country, Northland and Bay of Plenty, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch. But we can't have people, we can't afford to have people on the ground all the time. So what we're moving towards is a more hub-based training program where the schools will come to us to more web-based training so that we don't have to be face-to-face on an individual basis with schools. That's where the cost is, and that's what schools in the full program model pay for currently, along with a lot of other support. And so, yes, we're constantly evolving. That's something that's certainly happened over the 10 years is this whole process of evolving.
You had such a diverse background, and I alluded to some of it in the introduction, as a chef and a food writer, and there was Dish magazine, yes. business work as well. Why have you dedicated so much to this? What was the driver?
Well, as a cookery educator, when I had my business Epicurean workshop, I had a cookery school and I taught cookery to adults and children too. But it became more and more apparent to me that there was this disconnect between where food comes from and how to feed oneself well. And of course, I can't not mention Stephanie Alexander here. She initiated her program in Australia in the early 2000s, and she and I are old friends. I said to her one day, look, we need to do this in New Zealand. Can I model on your program? And she was very gracious and said yes. So that's really where it came from. But I have always been passionate about encouraging people to cook with fresh ingredients, simple food, fresh food, and sitting around a table and enjoying it. You know, food shouldn't be a chore. It should be a pleasure. Cooking should be a pleasure. And it doesn't matter how simple food is. I'm a great advocate of simple food. In fact, I'm not a chef. I'm a cook. So I'd like to correct that too, because I've never worked in a restaurant. I've done all sorts of other cookery jobs, but not restaurant work. So to me, it's one of the most important things in life. We all have to eat. But so why not make it something that's enjoyable? You know, there's a lot of paranoia out there these days. You know, should we be cutting out meat from our diet? Should we be eating? Should we be, you know, following a particular ethos, vegetarianism or whatever it might be? My philosophy has always been just eat fresh food, cook it simply, enjoy it. Well, and
you can't go wrong with a garden, can you?
Well, you can't go wrong with a garden. I personally believe that we need a balanced diet. So, you know, I very much am not an advocate of, you know, any particular other type of eating. I like all food. I eat it in moderation. That's my ethos.
But you mentioned the word real food, which is what comes out of a garden and not out of a box.
Absolutely.
Let's look at the book. Just to mention, as we said, it is a fundraiser for Garden to Table Trust.
Yes.
How is it outlined? Each chapter is championing what? A particular vegetable?
So yes, I've divided it into vegetable groups. At the beginning of each chapter, there's a little growing section. So just to inspire people that they can grow something at home, even if it's on the windowsill. We've got lovely chapters in there too by the lovely Al Brown, who's our ambassador, has written the foreword, and Nikki Bazant, who's another ambassador, has written about the importance of vegetables. And then Dan Mackay, who's our gardening ambassador, has written about how to get a garden going at home. So each chapter, for instance, the first one's leafy greens, and then I think there's brassicas and so on and so forth. There's 80 recipes altogether throughout the chapters, and you know, they're simple. Mm. You've got a book, haven't you, Catherine?
I will have. I don't have it sitting next to me, but I've got some images here that are making me hungry. Then we'll just quickly get to you.
It's just designed to be approachable. Yeah. You know, even the photography is simple, because I didn't want people to look at it and think, oh, that looks too hard. You know, I wanted them to think, I can do that. And
the Parmesan zucchini steaks, because they're making me particularly hungry.
Well, this is a great recipe for when you come home after a weekend away and you've got marrows instead of zucchini in your garden. And but you can do it with regular sized zucchini as well. Do you want me to run through the recipe?
Just very quickly. We don't need all the ingredients.
No.
Just the basic method.
Well, basically, you just mix a bit of garlic with olive oil and brush a zucchini that's been cut in half or into thick slices, depending on the size of it, with that. And then you stick it under the grill and leave it until it's, you know how zucchini gets that lovely little bit of golden colour on it?
Yes.
So you want that. Actually, I've said heat a char grill pan here, not put it under the grill, but you do need the grill on. So you grill the zucchini, and then once they're grilled on one side, you turn them over and you cover the top with Parmesan and a bit of black pepper. Stick them under the grill until the Parmesan's gone lovely and golden and crunchy. And that's as simple, that's all it is.
Yeah, but you've left off the parsley and the basil, that herb on top all the time, and the flavour you get.
We definitely garnish it with parsley and basil.
And the other one is, it looks great, is spaghetti with rocket.
Well, again, you know, this is about when you've got a dearth of rocket in the garden. You know, you start off and you've got all these lovely little leaves to pick, and then all of a sudden you've got so much rocket you don't know what to do with it. So this is just a very simple pasta sauce made by grinding up rocket. It's a bit like making pesto, really.
Oh, yes.
And tossing it through fresh pasta. It couldn't be simpler. It has a bit of ricotta cheese in it.
Yeah.
And is finished with Parmesan as well. So, you know, it's simple as, and it's good food. All you need on the side is a bit of a green salad, and you know, that's dinner.
And those little flavour adds, just a little bit of chilli flakes in there or some parsley leaves again.
Yeah.
You can get so much flavour from the simplest thing straight out of your garden.
Simple,
congratulations, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Catherine Bell, and the book is Bounty. Proceeds go to the Garden to Table Trust, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary.